I've just got a word to fuel, really, and encourage your faith this morning about what God is doing and to reach for more. God promised us this year that we would see a super bloom, which is a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that would mean to see the activity of God, God working, what only He can do in our own lives, but throughout the church, but also in the community. And we're beginning to see amazing signs of that. I was talking to somebody recently whose brother is an atheist. And as a child, he sang Christian songs. And he's beginning to wake up. He's a scientist. And he's beginning to wake up singing the songs he sang as a child. God is waking him up to Jesus. There was also a testimony from Claire Berry. She goes walking club or something, and a lady she goes walking with was sharing with Claire that her husband has been having this dream, and it's a dream about everybody that he knows going on and leaving, but he's left behind. And when he tries to get where everybody else is going, there is a shut door, a door closed. Now, this man isn't a Christian. And basically, Jesus says there will be a time when the door will close, when the opportunity to be saved will be over. And he's having a dream that's waking him up to an eternal reality and truth, that we will all stand before God and give an account. And those of us who have received Jesus as Savior and Lord have gone through the door. Jesus is the door to God the Father. He is the way to heaven. And I was so excited that an unbeliever is actually having a dream waking him up to God. But he needs the good news. So I sent Claire right back. I said, it's no good him having dreams. You need to go and interpret it. Take the parable of the closed door that Jesus talked about and get in there with the good news, because he's having an awakening. But without the gospel, we can't be saved. We need the truth of what Jesus has done on the cross for us personally. So let's read the Bible together. Let's read the Word of God, John chapter 1, and God wants to speak to all of us today through it. Verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I think this is probably one of the most negative. I think he's a bit of an Eeyore. But he's also speaking from his own knowledge of the Bible, actually from the law. And he's aware that the Messiah comes from Bethlehem, not Nazareth. So, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but so he's kind of needing to grow in his knowledge of Jesus before he can make a decision about him. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Well, come and see." I think that's one of the best answers to people who want to go into an argument. Yeah. Come and see for yourself. Come and find out about Jesus. Experience him yourself. I love that. Come and see. There's none of this force. You can't force anybody into the kingdom, can you? It's all free will. We've all got free will. We choose. But he gives an invitation. Come and see. Now, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Jesus thought this was amazing that Nathanael believed that bit. Because I said that, you believe. And then he said to him, you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of Man. And basically, wherever Jesus is, there is this supernatural activity of heaven coming to earth. Just like Jacob's dream. God is in this place. This is an awesome place. Jesus is here. And it's a gateway for the supernatural. If you have Jesus in your life, in your heart, living in you, it's a gateway for the supernatural. God wants to bring heaven on earth through Christ in you. How exciting. How exciting. But what I love about this, and I think this is something that God begins to unfold to Nathanael, is that what he knows about Jesus isn't enough yet. What he knows about God, really. He doesn't know much about Jesus to begin with. And Philip invites him because Philip knows more than Nathanael, because he's actually met and experienced Jesus and believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We found the Messiah. But often, you know, before we move on into new territory, new things, the old has to be a bit ruffled up. We have to receive a bit of challenge. Otherwise, because actually, basically, we like to stay in our little comfort zones. And Philip was really good for Nathanael in saying, come on, there is something more to see. And the person I want you to see is Jesus. And so Nathanael moves from being a skeptic to being someone who has an encounter with Jesus personally. Because Philip invited him to come. That's all that was. He didn't do the revelation, didn't reveal him himself, because none of us can reveal Jesus ourselves. It's a work of God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. If you know Jesus is Lord and the Son of God, no person revealed that to you. But my Father in heaven revealed Jesus to you. You're blessed because the Holy Spirit has shown you who Jesus is. Nathanael began to believe because Jesus said, he is a true Israelite in whom there's no deceit. He actually knew Nathanael's character. I love sometimes it gets me a bit kind of, uh-oh, God sees all about me. But he actually knows us through and through. And he sees what our characters are like. And so he's actually saying to Nathanael, you might not know me, but I know everything about you. And in Psalm 139, we have this amazing scripture about how God knows us. He even knows our thoughts from afar. And it's from Message translation, Psalm 139, verse 1 to 4. God, investigate my life, get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know, when I leave and when I get back, I'm never out of your sight. You know everything before I say I'm going to say. Before I start this first sentence. Sorry, I need to read that again. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. So basically, I'm an open book to God. You, this morning, are an open book to God. God knows your thoughts. He knows what you are about to say when you're in a conversation with somebody. He knows everything about you. So what Jesus was saying to Nathanael is, I already know you. And then Nathanael gets this from Jesus. Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, often the Jews used to meditate under the shade of a tree or a fig tree. And they used to take, because they didn't have the New Testament, because Jesus hadn't come. Well, he was there now, but the New Testament was written after Jesus came. Yes? So, he was reading the Old Testament, and I bet he was praying. Sitting there going, oh, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see the Messiah. When's he coming? We need a deliverer. These promises that I'm reading about, I want to see them happen. And God, who knew his thoughts from afar, because Jesus is the Son of God, knew the cry of his heart. Before he ever thought he'd said anything to God. Don't you think God's amazing? And so he gives an answer and understanding that I know you through and through. I know your character. I even know when Philip met you. He even knew when someone met you to lead you to Jesus. He knew. Why? Because he's wanting every single person to respond to him. And this was the way into Nathanael's heart, to know that Jesus cared, that he was concerned, that he was even interested in him. And with this knowledge, Nathanael decided, well, you've got to be God then. All his preconceived ideas about who God was, suddenly this form of a human being, Jesus came as a person, he became man, he recognizes you are the Son of God. And by believing in Jesus, he had a complete revolution or transformation of his life. Because faith always opens the door for God to work. Whenever we believe what Jesus says and we believe who he is as the Son of God, who God sent. Now God sent him for the primary reason of dying for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And he rose again so that we could receive a new life, a new heart. And in believing, Nathanael changed, well, God changed everything about Nathanael. Because Nathanael believed in Jesus. You've got to be God, because you know everything. You're the one we've been waiting for. I believe. And Jesus literally began to do something supernatural in his life through Nathanael's faith. But faith didn't happen without hearing Jesus speak, about hearing the word of God come to him. God is a speaking God, and wherever he's speaking, he's wanting to create faith in our hearts, because faith comes from hearing. Hearing God's word. And so Nathanael became a believer. Now, to believe doesn't just mean, oh yes, you're the Son of God, I've ticked that box. To believe means to trust and rely on with your whole life. It means actually loyalty, to give loyalty to and commitment to. So to say you're a believer in Jesus means I am relying on him with my whole life. I give him my absolute loyalty and my commitment. If he's God, then I'm his servant. And I trust in him completely. So Nathanael didn't go back to the fig tree. He began a journey of faith from that moment on. And a walk with Jesus. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. So you don't become a Christian just by saying, I believe. But to believe means to follow Jesus. That's what it means, is to walk out a life of trust and relationship with God himself. Isn't that mega? So exciting. But there is a common misconception that we grow into the Christian life. We don't. We're born into it. You're born a Christian. Now, I don't mean your first natural birth. But Nathaniel didn't. He grew in knowledge, but he wasn't a Christian until he believed. So we cannot grow into Christianity. We must be born into it. Jesus himself said, you have to be born again. Otherwise, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're born again, you can't enter. And Jesus is the door. Faith in him is the way to believe in Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior. John chapter 1, verse 12, just to say this amazing miracle of the new birth. But as many as received him, that's Jesus. How many in this room have really received him? As many as have received, accepted, he is the Son of God. To them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe, there's the word believe, to those who believe, trust, give loyalty to, show commitment to as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what believing means. It's an active word, not just a passive thing. Those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Now, you know that you are born of blood, of the will of the flesh. So, in other words, you have human parents. Yes? So, you have been born once in terms of naturally. But you must be born again of God to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that comes through faith in Jesus. And you become a brand new person on the inside. The old goes away and the new has come. Now, I love to think about being born of God. If you're a believer and you've received Jesus as the Son of God, the Lord and Savior of your life, I love to think, I've been born of God. My natural parents don't dictate my future. My history doesn't define my destiny because God himself has birthed me. And I have God DNA on the inside called Christ in me. And so my history and my future, my future potential is completely different because now God has given birth to me and I'm his child. He is my father, and I'm his child. Isn't that wonderful? So we're not born, naturally speaking, into Christianity. We're born spiritually with a new birth through faith in Jesus Christ. Nathaniel had to stop thinking about sitting in the old life that he lived. He was now starting on a new journey with faith in Jesus Christ. So that's called repentance. He made some changes. Because to follow Jesus, you have to make some changes. You can't follow Jesus where he's going without changing what you used to do. And who you're with. He changed who he walked with. Because we have to walk with Jesus and other disciples. Otherwise, we won't grow. So we're born again as Christians. But God has an expectation for every born-again believer to grow. And rather like, when a natural child is born, they don't stay a baby. We've just had a new baby in the church, Oscar. Something would be very wrong if Oscar was still the size he was, crying the way he does for food, communicating the way he does currently in 5 years' time. Or even 8 year time, we would think there's a problem with Oscar. Yeah. There isn't a problem with Oscar, but there could be if he didn't grow. Yeah. Now, in Oscar is everything he's going to be. That's right. Yeah. He was born to become an adult. Yeah. to grow up. A child running around playing. A teenager doing what teenagers do. And then an adult who then is able to be a parent and look after kids. And so as a disciple or follower of Jesus, your new birth, you get everything in Christ. All that he is in you, Christ in you. But then you grow. And if you're not growing, something's wrong. Houston, we have a problem. If there isn't a growing of you as a believer. And the Bible's clear in Ephesians. It speaks about growing to the full measure of the stature of Christ. So we're to grow into the fullness of Christ. God has this mandate on every believer to be like Jesus in character, to talk like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus, to be kind like Jesus, to do the work that Jesus does. The same miracles that Jesus does. The full stature. When you grow up, everybody looks at you and says, well, that's the full package. That's it. And you know, you can't get higher or greater than Jesus. And so that's God's goal for you and for me, for every disciple of Jesus, to be like Jesus. But not because we don't have the power to. He puts the power within us to. But then we grow. What do we grow in? We grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. How do you know God more now than you did? I think even in the last couple of weeks, I know him more than I did 2 weeks ago. Isn't that wonderful? I'm growing. How do we grow in the knowledge of God? Through the word and prayer. And through listening to messages. This morning you're growing, I trust, in the knowledge of Jesus. So we're to grow in the knowledge and grace, the undeserved favor of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I thank my God that your faith grows exceedingly. So we have a growing faith. So we believe for this, but there's more to believe for. You've seen God do certain things in answering your prayer. You've seen God do certain things in your family. But there's a growing faith. Because we're to go from faith to faith to faith so that we see more and more of the work and power of God through our lives. Say, I want growing faith. And we grow our faith through hearing the word. And acting on it, actually, because you can be deceived. You can listen to the word all day long and do nothing. So we can all be deceived by doing nothing with what we're hearing. So you'll only grow your faith as far as you believe and act on it. Do, okay? We're to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Not that we have in of ourselves the character of Jesus, but Christ in us, through his Spirit within, wants to grow the fruit of kindness. Are you more kind than you were at the beginning of the year? It's a good question, isn't it? Am I growing in patience? Am I growing in love? There's another thing that we're to grow in, and that's love for one another. Your love grows exceedingly, Paul says. Are you growing your love for the body of Christ where God has placed you? Or are you growing in judgment, criticism, problems? Don't like them. Don't like them. Don't like what she said. Don't like what he said. Or are you growing in love? The love that believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, that forgives as Jesus forgave us. So there's this growth of faith, the growth of love. And there's also this growth of going and making disciples. Are you growing in your influence on seeing people come to Christ and grow in their relationship with God. We're to grow. The church is to grow. We're not to stay the same size. You're not to just have you and the three you brought with you because you had them in your family. You're to bring others. That's what Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all. Preach the gospel. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Do something with what you have. Go and bring them into a following lifestyle and faith and love and obedience to Jesus. Now, Nathaniel, you could say, it's a bit like this tape measure. He began his journey with a little bit of understanding. He grew a little bit in knowing Jesus. And at that point of that little bit of knowledge that Jesus knew everything about him, it was like he got born again. Now, after he believed, Jesus said, "You believe this? That's amazing, great. But guess what, Nathaniel? You're going to see even bigger things. You're going to see more. You're going to see greater things. And don't stop there, Nathaniel. You're going to see a bit more. And then don't stop there. You're going to see even more. And then don't stop there. You're going to see more. Because if you have stopped, actually what happens is you backslide." Anybody who stops growing backslides. Anybody who stops investing in Jesus and the kingdom and his thing goes back. But God's plan is that we go from faith to faith. We grow in love, measuring it all out till the full measure, till the max. Who's the max? Jesus. Now, I don't know where I am or you are, but all I know is I want to grow. Okay? That's what I want. I want to grow. Yeah? I do not want to have a vision, a ceiling on my growth. I don't want to say this is it. I've seen all God wants to do. I'm going to see all God has done. And, oh, I'm fine as I am. I don't need to love anymore. I don't need to give anymore. Nope. Oops. Back we go. Because that's so easy. It's so easy to not grow in the knowledge of Jesus. To know him more now than you did. See, it's not about coming along to church. Although being here will help you grow. It's God's plan for you. But it is about grow. Grow. So continue to grow. Because the life of Jesus in us is a growing life. And I love what Jesus says. You know, Nathaniel, you've seen this. But you're going to see more. Now, I remember as a child, I was one of four children. I grew up in Zimbabwe. And then at 10 years old, we moved to this country. And I remember as a young child in Zimbabwe, as is the case in a lot of schools here, that we had to wear a uniform when you start school. And you know, you're 4 or 5 years old and mum and dad buy you a uniform. Now that uniform, most often, is way too big for you so that you can grow into it. The parent thinks, right, I'm going to save a lot of trouble here. I'm going to go and buy one uniform to fit. You're going to grow into this. Your father, Heavenly Father, is planning a whole lot more growth. And at the moment it seems, God, that's too big. But the power of the Spirit in you will work it in you. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion to the day of Christ. So in other words, if you let him grow you and you apply the disciplines of the Christian life, because there are some, Obedience, devotion, reading the word, prayer, walking with other believers, being shaped and trained to follow Jesus, all these things. If you apply the right ingredients of love and faithfulness, you will grow and you'll look back. I mean, okay, I want to be the fool now. But I know about myself is that I grow like this. Sometimes I don't even know I've grown, but it's moved. And I need to be encouraged, actually. Well, I know this about Jesus. I'll spend all eternity finding out about him. But I know this much in comparison to who he is. I've experienced amazing answers to prayer. I've experienced God save, actually in one meeting, 1,000 people. But how about a bit more than that? I've seen people walk out of wheelchairs. I've seen people healed of cancer. But I want to see a whole lot more. I've seen a church raised from nothing and brought to where we are. But God has said it's an army, an exceedingly great one. The size is bigger than we are. But it's all in Christ. And we've only seen this bit. And what you can't see yet is what we believe for. What you can't see yet is what we're believing for. We're going to go on believing, aren't we? Don't stop believing. Because there's more. You will see even greater things than this. He loves you. He's not condemning where you are. He's saying, walk with me. Come on, there's going to be more. Walk with me. Jesus promises this. You will see even greater things than these. Say over your life. Jesus says. No, we've got to say it at least 3 times. Go on, out loud. I'm excited. Anybody believe that? You know what happens, joy and peace, when you believe? Not intensity. When you believe, it's interesting. What happens with belief is you go, you trust God that he's going to do it, and you go, yes, brilliant. Not, I believe, I really do believe, I do. Yeah, I believe, Lord, I'm going to see what I haven't yet seen in my family. I haven't yet seen it. I'm going to see it. In Taunton, I haven't yet seen. Jesus told us, there's many people in this town, in this city. I haven't yet seen them. You haven't yet seen the fruit that God has planned for you. You're going to grow. Say, I'm going to grow into this. I'm going to grow into all that God has planned for me. Amen. I'm going to grow into it. You see, I believe that God said to me, you know, this week, he said, you know, well, Judith, you've got some super bloom happening. The first night we came back from Healthy Soul, we just said we were like people who dreamed afterwards. You remember we used that terminology, which is, well, God was amazing. It was just amazing. And the fruit of that is, you know, somebody healed. There is a guy that you guys brought who really responded to the Lord. And there were loads of signs. And some of you at work, some of you brought your work colleagues. One girl brought 4 work colleagues. Meeting people at photocopiers saying, I want to find out about your church. And I know some of you asked people and they didn't come yet. But it was just, we were like people who dreamed. It was like an outpouring of the Spirit. The next week, we didn't get so many people, but God still moved powerfully. This week, we're going to get loads of activity of the Spirit, and hopefully you'll bring somebody too, because that's what God wants to do, to be part of what he's doing in reaching people. But you know, the Lord said, even with the dreams and the work, and I can hear some of you are so excited about God this year, and I get so excited hearing you're excited. Does me the world of good to hear about what you say God is doing. And it's just like we encourage one another when we hear what he's doing. But the Lord said to me this week, Judith, you know, don't stop believing that you will see greater things. Because if you stop believing, the work stops. Did you get it? If you stop believing God is at work in me, God is speaking to me, God is answering my prayers, you won't see it. If you stop believing that God is pouring out his spirit and we're going to see an incredible, amazing harvest of souls, God is going to do things that will blow your mind as you seek first the kingdom, his righteousness. That's the key. You don't seek what you want. You seek his kingdom, his righteousness. All things will be added to you. Everything you need will be added. And so he said to me, personally, you will see even greater. And he said, I want to encourage my people. There are faithful people in this church. Diligent, willing to lay down your lives, serving week in, week out. And you are the ones, together with, I'm not judging anyone, but I'm just saying, I tell you what, you will see greater. You who are investing in him, he's going to see. You're going to see a return like you never, ever expected. In the workplace, there are God's moving in different people's workplaces. It's extraordinary. We might hear some of the testimonies next weekend about what God's doing. But he said to me, don't stop. Don't stop. Isn't it interesting how we think, I've just had an amazing miracle from God. And often it's only pressure or need that makes us try and believe God. But we need to move beyond pressure and need into faith for others. Not just ourselves, not just our own circumstances. We need to believe for people and go beyond our own little worlds of believing into his kingdom mindset. Because he's come to bring his kingdom, his amazing good news to everyone. I don't know if this is doing you good, but you will see. I'm saying from a personal word to you from Jesus, you're going to see greater things than these. Anything you have seen, praise him for it. But it's going to grow and it's going to be amazing. God's tape measure really is his word. If you want to know what he wants to do, read the Bible. It's flawless. It's perfect. Every prophecy that has ever been told has come to pass. And everything about Jesus' return is written in here. The word of God is infallible. And you can depend on every promise that the word gives you. Amen. And so this is God's measure. Christ, when you read about Jesus, that's the full stature. You read that and you go, huh, that's what he wants me to grow into. Walking on water, speaking to storms, casting out demons, raising the dead, healing the sick, seeing multitudes fed from nothing. That's who the Jesus in me is going to be through my experience. Not a religious mindset that says, oh, wouldn't that be nice? But claims it and takes it and says, I want to go there. I want to see. As it is written, so let it be in my life and my experience, Lord. And remember, the work of God comes through believing. If you believe, you will see. Remember Jairus? The situation kept getting worse. He prayed, Jesus was moving. But then it got worse. His little daughter died. Impossible. And Jesus said, only believe. They're the most powerful words. You haven't felt it yet. You haven't seen it yet. You haven't experienced it yet. In your marriage, your body, your finances, your school, your village, your town, your family, your workplace, Taunton, we haven't seen it yet. Only believe what I say, and you will see it. You can rely. It's not false hope. He's not a salesman selling false hope. Come This isn't false hope.
Amen.
Everything about this word is true.
Amen.
There is nothing written that isn't from God.
Amen.
And Jesus said, you can rely on me to bring it to pass. And you trust me for it. So we measure by the unseen. We haven't grown into it yet. But we're going. We're going. I'm just going to finish with this. I met a few guys here this week, guy on a journey of discovery about Jesus. And we were on the ground floor. And God was speaking to him, and he's been moving in his life. And it's exciting. You know, I remember before I got saved, there was a lot of things happening to me that I wasn't yet fully committed to. It was a moment when I got born again. But I was growing in my knowledge and understanding of Jesus. Anyway, I love our ground floor. But you see, because I know that's not it. But he'd never been on the middle floor or in this room, the top floor. Because there are three levels to this building. And I said, you know, this isn't it. There's another floor. He went, is there? Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean there isn't another floor in God. Just because you haven't walked in it doesn't mean it's not for you. The whole package is in the building. It's in Christ. Everything's here. But you need to come off the ground floor. Because there's more. So anyway, I said to him, do you want to come with me? I'll show you around. And I love the kind of analogy of this. He first of all said, yeah, I'd really like to see. You know, if you don't want to see greater things, you won't.
That's right.
Yeah. You can stay sat on the ground floor, saved and going to heaven. But I'm not staying sat on the ground floor. Does anybody want to come with me? I'm going for greater things still. I don't want to just get into heaven and be saved. I want to see the same works. I want to see what Jesus has promised. So the good thing about this lad is that he wanted to see. And whenever God knows someone wants to see, like Nathaniel, he was like, genuine. He's not fake. Not pretend, yes, in a meeting, but never shows up. What's that? Jesus knew Nathaniel was going to be a follower. And so he said, do you want to see? You're going to see greater things. Come with me. You're going to see supernatural activity. You're going to see heaven on earth. You're going to see signs and wonders. Wherever I am, this is what's going to happen. So the lad said, yep, I want to come. So can I say he walked by faith? What gave him faith? Me, I said, there's another floor. Somehow I think we've made faith really complex. If God says there's another floor, there's another floor. If God says you're healed, guess what? You are healed. If God says you're anointed, if God says you have everything you need in Christ in life and for life and godliness, what do you have? Well, I don't see it yet. Well, you are. You just walk by faith. So he acted on my word. And I mean, he didn't know me. He took me for my word. We've got to start really taking God at his word, church. And start moving in what we feel, our circumstances, everything else, what someone else says, because they're not quite the same as you in the church. You know, the churches who don't believe. Well, let's just declare from this church, this is the word of God. And no words going back. Every word is true. So he took me at my word, and he were walking up the stairs. You see, faith is a walk. Before you see it, you believe it's there. He didn't come up going, well, I don't know whether she's, is she lying? He just walked up with me expecting to see another floor. Isn't faith simple? Childlike faith. God said it, I'm just going to walk by faith, not in what I've seen yet, I haven't experienced it yet. And we opened the door to the middle floor, the children and youth floor. And he went, ah! And we walked around. So what was unseen became his experience. How many of you want the unseen to become your experience? I want to walk in what God has promised. But we've got to walk by faith first and follow Jesus. Actually, he was following me. I was showing him. I thought, this is another secret to faith, Lord. These levels and walking with somebody up the stairs. It's so simple. We follow Jesus into what he has promised. He doesn't just give us a promise, leave us until it happens. But he gets us walking in steps of obedience and faithfulness and endurance and just continuing on until we're there. But we're spirit-led people. We're led to do the will of God until we receive the promise. This is good preaching. I don't know. I think it's so simple. That's why it's good. So we walk with Jesus into the next level, believing we will see another floor. Things we haven't yet seen will become experience. And then I said, guess what? There's another level. Do you want to go? Do you want to go? No, I've had enough thanks. It's enough for me to be saved, healed. God's answered all my prayers. It's all about me. But what about the world? You're not just here for you. You're here for them. They're not even here yet, but they're coming in. And God wants us to begin to walk beyond ourselves. Just the things that we walk in, carry on walking in them. Live on the ground floor, enjoy that. Come to the middle floor, enjoy all the fun of the children's floor. Yep. But guess what? There's the top floor. And this is what it means to grow. And you know what? Till my last breath, I want to grow. And if you've not realized that God's got so much for you today, Jesus is speaking a simple word. You will see even greater things. If you've been discouraged because you haven't yet seen what has been promised, Jesus said, only believe. You will see even greater things than these. But follow me until you come into them. Don't go your own way, because in the path of Jesus are the miracles of Jesus. Walk in step with my spirit. Don't go your own way, because as we walk with him and he leads us to continually be faithful in what we have in our lives, practically and diligently, he says, you're going to see. Only believe, and you'll see. Only believe, and you will see. Let's pray, shall we?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.